May I inquire if the board is 22355, did that stipulate out?
One second. 22355?
I don't know.
22355.
I don't have that on my.
I don't see that.
Not on the agenda, I did have that.
Hold on one second. I do have that on my list, and yes, he was issued. He was stipulation and.
Stipulation.
Yep, thank you. You want to do that last one? 22182. 22182.
Case nine.
We don't have any other, do we have any others that have not shown?
No, that was it for no-shows. Does anybody want a break, or do we want to keep going?
Quick break?
All right, we're going to take a 10-minute break at 11:31. Back on the record at 11:44 a.m. For the record, all members of the board who were here prior to the break are still here. Proceeding in order, case number 922-182. Good morning, everyone. Can you identify yourself for the last time that appears, spells your witness?
Thank you, Lieutenant Doug Sobey from Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection, here with Officer Murray from the Stone DPD.
I'm sorry, the witness again?
Murray, Officer Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y, for the record, Stone DPD.
Lieutenant, would you like to make a opening statement?
Yes, this is a suitability case involving a very, very fraught road rage incident with serious judgment issues. The state believes that the appellant is not suitable to possess a firearm, as this could have ended very differently, and not due to the actions of the appellant in this case, due to the actions of the other party that was involved here. Our record will show today through testimony that potentially we came very close to having a tragedy occur on off Route 95, off Interstate 95 that day. I believe the appellant may have a procedural request for the board as well before we go any further.
Do you have a request, sir?
I do, ma'am. Through the advice of my counsel, GA-10, due to their case backlog, has not adjudicated my case yet. So through advice of my counsel has asked that I request a continuance of this case until my case for GA-10 is adjudicated.
Okay, the request is noted, but the request is denied. Sir, it's been the policy of this board not to continue cases just because a criminal case is pending, so that is denied. That being said, would you like to make an opening statement?
Or he could withdraw his case, couldn't he?
Well, you can move forward, or you can withdraw your case. Do you want to move forward with your case?
What I'm trying to do is.
Well, we're not postponing it, so we're either going forward or.
Well, then I guess we're going forward.
Okay, all right.
Are you going to give him the warnings of a.
Oh, right.
Pending criminal case, and anything he says will be used in that case.
Right, oh, and I, were you here at the, yeah, you were here at the beginning. You heard my opening statement, you're subject to perjury. Given that you have indicated there's a case pending in the GA, I will add on your Fifth Amendment rights. Anything you say here, it's public, it's on TV, it's on the internet, that can be used against you in that case as well. And you have a right against to not incriminate yourself, so.
That's correct, and that's one of the other reasons that my counsel has said to ask for postponement. Is because that case hasn't been adjudicated, and my counsel's not here today, because that's what he said to do, was.
I understand.
And ask, and because of all that, and then I don't have the, I don't have the opportunity to have counsel with me today because of that. What he had said, he goes, I'm just going to go up and I'm going to ask for a continuance, because the other case has not come to fruition yet. And I'm just going to bill you, basically his words.
I understand that.
So because of that, he didn't come.
I understand.
There would be the opportunity to have a continuance, because the other case wasn't adjudicated. And here I wouldn't, the information provided by me here has the opportunity to incriminate me in the GA-10 case. So through that, that was one of the reasons he said as a request to continue this until the GA-10 case has been dispositioned.
I understand that, sir. Your request is denied. Anything that they're going to say, they could say in the criminal case regardless. I'm talking about what you're going to say to us, which you don't have to say anything to this board at all, but we are going to move forward unless you withdraw your appeal.
Then I guess we're moving forward now.
Okay. All right. Would you like to make an opening statement?
In the incident that occurred, there was a road rage incident. I admit that the gentleman was in the blind spot of my car. He was irate. I tried to get the other party to come off of 95 and go into a parking lot, which he did. He proceeded to be animated, waving his arms, threatening. There was a dog in the back of the car. He kept making motions back and forth to the car, back and forth to the car. I had several times he went back and forth. I was calm. There is video evidence of me being calm and collected. Again, that's video evidence. We were waiting for to come to the court for the GA-10. I wasn't animated or anything. I was calm and collected. Pretty sure the officer can attest that I was cooperative. I was calm, no indication of agitation. And with that individual going back and forth to the car, there was the potential for injury to myself if he had released the dog or if he had removed the weapon from the vehicle. I've had extensive firearms training as in threat recognition. One of the topics recovered through the threat recognition was what they do is they put up a silhouette with a person, and it is you.
Can I jump in? This is opening statement.
I apologize,
not to put
sir.
On your case. Much like they did, just a brief description of what you're going to prove today, and then they'll get a chance to put on their case.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll come back.
Okay.
All right. Why don't you proceed, Lieutenant?
Thank you. I'd like to call Officer Murray.
Okay.
Officer Murray, could you state and spell your name for the record, please?
Yep. It's Officer Christy Murray, KristyMurray with the Stonington Police Department, 173 South Broad Street, Hawkshead, Connecticut.
And how long have you been employed by Stonington PD?
22 years.
22 years. Can you describe to me the event we're here to talk about today that occurred in June of 2021 with the appellant?
Yep. I was dispatched to a road rage incident that ended up in our town at the Mystic Diner, in the parking lot of the Mystic Diner. And I was advised that there was a firearm involved. When I got there, there was two male subjects standing outside their vehicles. I approached them. They both had their hands in their pockets. I asked them to remove them, as I did. The victim in this case said that the other gentleman, the appellate, he was the one with the firearm. I took control of the appellate, was able to ask him where the firearm was. He explained it was in his pocket. I then removed that firearm from his pocket along with a knife. A pocket knife, and then separated the two subjects, made sure that officer safety reasons pat down the other individual, and then proceeded to ask the appellate what had happened. He had indicated that he was on I-95 North and he was in the middle lane. The victim was in the left-hand travel lane. He proceeded to move into the left-hand travel lane, did not see the subject apparently, and then the victim started. In a sense, he cut that subject off. The victim then honked the horn at him, but the appellate continued on, sped up to get away from him. And then at some point in time further down the road, the two of them ended up side by side. Depending on who you talk to, words were exchanged. It was indicated that they were to get off the highway. They then did so because they wanted to talk about it. Pulled into the parking lot of the Mystic Diner. They exited their vehicles. There was a verbal altercation that took place between the two subjects. And at some point, depending on who you talk to, one of them had said, the victim said that the appellate did it, the appellate said the victim did it, but it came out that there was gonna be some kind of fight. The words were, let's dance. If you wanna dance, let's dance. The victim proceeded back to his car, took off an article that he had on him, placed it in the car. When he turned around, the appellate had a firearm displayed at his waistband. The firearm was never pointed at the victim. Depending on who you talk to, the appellate says the firearm never exited the holster. However, the victim said that the firearm did exit the holster. And then that's when the victim realized that something was going on, and the two of them, or the victim then called the police. I showed up and took control of the scene then.
So in your training and experience, would you say that the appellant escalated the situation, if it was going to be a fist fight and a firearm was then displayed?
Yes.
Okay. And would, in your professional opinion, in your training and experience, he have been justified if the other party had attacked him with his fists in shooting or using that firearm against that other party?
Correct.
Well, in your professional opinion, would that have been appropriate? For
that would have been appropriate had there been some kind of altercation or movements made towards that individual.
Would the appellant have to have been in fear of his life to have used a firearm against the other party?
Yes.
Okay. And do you think that was there, if there was a fist fight occurring, absent some other kind of threat?
Can you repeat the question?
Do you think that level of, he could reasonably believe that he was in threat of his life was present if there was just a fist fight occurring?
No.
Absent a knife, or maybe the fist fight had gone dramatically wrong, or there was chokehold or something like that.
Correct. There had never been a physical altercation or any contact made between the two of them.
Okay, so just for clarity of the record, at that point, it would not have been appropriate then for the appellant to use his firearm against
yes.
the other one.
Thanks.
In your experience, going back to the driving incident, is it common for parties to pull off to settle their differences after minor traffic incidents occur?
No.
No. And in your training experience, does that generally lead to unpleasant situations?
Yes.
Okay. Nothing further for the officer.
Yes, sir, do you have any questions of the officer?
Was there a pit bull in the back of the car?
I don't recall the breed of the dog. There was a dog, I just don't recall the breed of the dog. It was 2 years ago.
You haven't had the opportunity to review the video of that day?
We did. We reviewed the surveillance video.
Did you notice the individual going back and forth to his car in the video?
There was walking around. He did go to his car. He put an article. It's the distance between where that incident happened and where the camera are. It's too distant to see exactly what had transpired in that aspect, what was removed or anything like that. But he did go back to the vehicle just as it had been indicated to me.
So he would have had the opportunity to retrieve a weapon from the vehicle?
Again, he went back and put something in the vehicle. I can't say whether he was retrieving something.
I understand, but he went back and forth to the vehicle, so at that point in time, there would have been opportunity for him to gain a weapon or retrieve a weapon from the vehicle because he went back and forth to the vehicle.
I can't say whether he was gaining a weapon or having the opportunity to.
Correct, ma'am. And I would not be able to ascertain that either from that thing, however, for my own safety, because someone was going back and forth to the vehicle, he would have the opportunity to retrieve a weapon from the vehicle.
I can't
and
say
you can't
that.
Answer
I
that,
can't answer that. I can't say he was going back to his vehicle to retrieve anything.
Was the question whether he had an opportunity?
He had. The question is did he have an opportunity to do that?
He had an opportunity to go back to his vehicle, yes.
Any other questions? Okay, does the board have any questions? Any other witnesses?
Just quick redirect.
Yeah.
One other judgment issue. When you arrived, his hands were in his pockets, correct?
Yes.
And he had presumably known the police had been called?
Yes.
And he was standing, was the firearm in his pocket at that time?
Yes, it was.
Okay, thank you.
Any follow-up questions based on that?
Was it cooperative the whole time?
He was cooperative. There was one point where I was trying to talk to the victim that he did butt in at some point and try to interject, but we were able to separate the two of them. But he was cooperative.
Is it typical for the police department to give personal rights back to their vehicle?
Can you say that again?
I apologize, I don't remember the officer's name, but the officer that came up, he thanked me for being cooperative. He thanked me for being respectful. He goes, we're going to take you down to the police department. We're going to remove your firearm from you. And he explained that I would have to be in front of the board because they're going to take my firearm because of the breach of peace, and because of the breach of peace involved the firearm. He said, but you've been cooperative. When we're done, he goes, I'll get you a ride back to your vehicle because you've been so cooperative and you have been level-headed and decent through this whole thing.
So is your question whether it's normal for the police
to
return of somebody who's been booked back
Correct.
To their car?
Yes, we have done that in the past.
Okay.
Are there any other follow-ups by anybody, Lieutenant or the board? Any other witnesses?
No, thank you.
All right, so you may tell us what you'd like us to know.
So, subsequent to the road raid incident, we were in the parking lot of the Mystic Diner. I tried several times to de-escalate the situation. Individual wouldn't listen. He was animated, waving his arms. Again, if you saw the video, I was calm, collected. He had gone back to his vehicle. He had the opportunity to retrieve a weapon of some sort. Again, I've had extensive firearm training and in threat recognition. One of the threat recognition exercises that we had is there is a silhouette of an individual. When you go in to do the threat recognition, in one case he has a firearm. I'm sorry, I apologize. He starts out with a cell phone in the exercise. Then you go back in for another threat recognition. And then the second time he has a weapon on him. I've been through that training, and that was why if he would have retrieved a firearm from the vehicle, you were correct, sir. It could have been very different.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not, because I've been trained, and I've been through extensive firearm training, and through that training, I was able to recognize that he did not have a firearm. So the firearm never left its holster. It never left my waist. So yes, I was prepared to defend myself. If he would have retrieved the firearm from the vehicle, I would have defended myself. It's my right. I was completely legal in having the firearm. I've gone through all the legal processes. I've gone through the state of Connecticut to have a concealed carry permit. I have concealed carry permits in several states. And like I said, this case has not been completely adjudicated through GA-10, and it has the potential to be as a self-defense case through my counsel.
Questions?
Yes. You stated that you wanted to de-escalate.
I did, sir. I tried several times.
Why did you pull off the road with him? Why did you signal for this driver to pull off to the side of the road?
Because like I said, I admit that I had cut him off. I didn't see him. He was in my blind spot. He was pushing me down the highway, tailgating me, pushing me, and I was trying to get off the highway because I didn't want to endanger any other motorists.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't letting up. I do have a performance vehicle. Mm-hmm. I tried to get away from him. It wasn't happening. He wouldn't get away. I would say the incident started the exit before. So it was the exit before Allen Street, and I apologize, I don't remember the name. And it went two exits with him pushing me down the highway and driving recklessly.
Mm-hmm.
So I was afraid and that he was endangering the rest of the public, and I didn't think that he was going to give up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to get him off the road so that nobody else got hurt and there was no other endangerment to the public. I figured if I could at least get him off the road, mm-hmm. try to apologize, and I did. And I apologized several times. Mm-hmm. He wasn't hearing it. And he made statements about being in the Marine Corps and needs to teach people a lesson and all of that other stuff. I tried to de-escalate, sir. I tried several times. I tried to apologize. None of that worked.
Can you think of an alternate solution there other than pulling off the side of the road if you wanted to de-escalate that situation?
I could think of two. I could have driven to the police station, mm-hmm. but I apologize. I don't know the area well enough to know where the police station is.
Yeah.
I could have stayed in the car when all this happened,
mm-hmm.
and I could have immediately called the police. And like you said, I apologize for that, but I was trying to de-escalate. When we pulled into the diner, he was immediately out of his car. He jumped out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember that the animal in the back of the car was a pit bull.
Mm-hmm.
I was concerned about the pit bull, initially I was concerned about him releasing the pit bull and possibly attacking me. Mm-hmm. Another reason that I believe that this could have been self-defense, because mm-hmm. I did not know the dog or the temperament of the dog. Mm-hmm. Through the whole thing, when mm-hmm. we were being arrested and placed in cuffs, I know that I made statements to the officers about the welfare of the animal. I said to make sure that the windows are down, make sure that everything was okay, because I didn't want anything to happen to the animal. Mm-hmm. Not the animal's fault that he's locked in a car because his owner has been arrested. Mm-hmm. Not the animal's fault. So, did I make the exact appropriate decision by not sitting in my car or not trying to continue down the highway and endanger people? I believe by trying to at least getting off the road and not endangering other people, I made the right decision there. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know where did not know where the police department was. Very soon after I learned where the police department was. Mm-hmm. But I said, I apologized. I tried to de-escalate the situation several times, and in training for threat recognition, and I still believe that there was a potential threat to my personal safety.
Was this threat self-created, i.e. if you had not pulled off the road after him ramming your car or something, would you have ended up in that situation?
Hindsight's 20/20, sir. But in the moment, with his reckless driving, I do not know what would happen if we would have continued down the road, and I do not care to speculate on what would happen. Mm-hmm. Right? You and I are in a discussion of philosophy right now on whether or not this could have happened or did not happen. I know what happened. I know the pistol never left its holster. So again, I was making judgment decisions. And again, Monday morning quarterback, it's very difficult to say what would happen. And you're right, there could have been other decisions.
Outside of philosophy, basic common sense, when two cars pull off the road after a fraught driving accident occurs, what generally is the result of that?
Sorry, I don't know. I've not been trained or experienced in that. Again, I tried to apologize. I was trying to eliminate the threat to public safety. Mm-hmm. I tried several times to apologize. Respectful, polite, not animated, calm tones. I was respectful the whole time, sir.
Ultimately, who did call the police here?
The victim did, because he saw the firearm. He started yelling, brandishing. And again, the pistol never left the holster. Mm-hmm. I believe the Stonington police still have my firearm and the holster that it was in. It's a pocket holster, so the weapon never left the holster.
So the weapon was displayed, even though you wanted to de-escalate at that time?
Sir, because he continued to go back and forth to his vehicle, and there was a pit bull in the back of the car, and if I would have waited and he would have brought a firearm to bear, then I would have been at a disadvantage.
Alternate decision there, potentially? Is there one? What would the other option be, other than?
At this point in time, I would have driven to the police station, let him follow me to the police station, sir.
Just got in a car and got back on the highway, maybe?
Right. And to that point, how do I know he wasn't going to still continue to follow me? How do I know that he wasn't going to continue to still be a threat to public? I do not know any of that, sir.
Do you regard it as your responsibility to eliminate threats to the public?
I do not, sir. Okay. I do not. But I think it's prudent that if there is the opportunity for somebody to make a mess of the situation, to try to de-escalate the situation. And that's what I was trying to do, sir. I apologized. I tried to de-escalate the situation several times, to no avail. I tried to get back to my car to leave, and he followed me back to my car. So when he started following me back, what's to say he wasn't going to continue to follow me down the highway?
At what point would you have used your firearm against him, had he engaged with you?
If he would engage and he would have removed a weapon from the vehicle, again, I went through the training for threat recognition. If he would have brought a firearm to bear out of the vehicle, sir, I would have defended myself.
If he had punched you in the face, would you ever?
No, sir.
If he had you on the ground in a chokehold, would you ever move your firearm?
If I was in fear for my life at that point in time, sir, yes.
Okay.
If I was in fear for my life.
And you feel any decisions you made would have led up to that occurring? It could have been avoided.
very difficult to speculate on that because I don't know what would happen, and that's, I don't believe that's a fair question because we didn't get to that point. The police showed up.
Because
he called.
He called them.
He
right?
called them.
Right.
He called them.
And he disengaged from you as well.
And
right?
You say he disengaged, but he was still very animated.
Going to call the police seems like a de-escalation to me, right? That's.
He was still.
So you think very he called them and then still fought you? Okay.
Yeah, he was still very animated, very agitated. Mm-hmm. He was very animated and agitated when the police arrived. Again, there's video evidence of all of that, and that was one of the reasons that it continued to go, get continued through GA-10, because it took quite a while to get that video evidence.
Your gun, just one final question, I've gone a little long. The gun was in your pocket when the police arrived, correct?
It was, sir.
And your hand was in your pocket?
It was, sir, because I didn't know what the individual was going to do.
Okay. See any problem there at all? You know the police are coming.
Right.
You show up, they roll up, and your hand is in your pocket on a gun. Just how that could go.
I understand. Right. Again, speculation, sir.
Yep.
But I do not know. I did not know what that other individual was going to do. People do crazy things at the last minute, sir. Could he have had a warrant? Could he have something else going on? I don't know, and it's not fair to speculate.
Sure.
It's not fair for all the speculation. When I don't know what could have actually happened.
Do you think Officer Murray, rolling up to this call without knowing either one of you, would speculate in your head what you would have done when you had your hand on a weapon?
Officer Murray arrived. Sir, I've never been in trouble before. It is the first interaction that I've ever had with law enforcement. Mm-hmm. I was cooperative with Officer Murray. Sure. As soon as I talked...
I'm just talking about when she rolled up on scene.
I hear you.
Not when she got to know you or talk to you.
At that point in time, sir, Officer Murray did not have control of the situation just by rolling up on the situation.
Correct.
She didn't have control of the situation.
No, we don't. Right.
Correct.
Right.
And I, like I said, once Officer Murray got control of the situation, I was cooperative, I was respectful, I was polite, I made no threats. I was trying to mitigate the threat to myself, and I did what I thought was appropriate because of the situation and the opportunity for the other individual to bring a weapon to bear in the situation. Mm-hmm. So, you've probably been in this a long time, sir, and you have probably gone through many of these cases with people trying to make decisions, split-second decisions at the last moment. Mm-hmm. I believe Officer Murray has gone through the same thing, split decisions at the very last second. Mm-hmm. At some point, she was probably also in fear for her life. She doesn't know what threat is. She didn't know that the threat that I presented to her at that point in time. However, as soon as she presented herself and she had the situation under control, I relinquished all... I didn't have any aggression, so I was cooperative, I was polite, I was respectful, I complied with everything that the officers asked for. Again, I don't know what the other individual was going to do. Was he going to release the pit bull? I don't know. You don't know that, sir. Was he going to remove a firearm from the...
Has he answered your question?
He has answered my question.
Okay. I apologize, sir.
Final question. Could he have released a pit bull on you if you're driving down I-95?
We could do a lot of things, sir. If we were driving down 95...
Could that dog have caught up with your car, conceivably?
Conceivably, no, sir.
Right. Thank you. Nothing further.
Questions by the board? Ms. Johnson.
Are you or have you ever been a police officer?
I have not, ma'am.
What is this threat training you keep referring to?
So, I went with IWI Weapons. And there was threat training what you basically do is you go through a shoot house, anybody that knows what a shoot house is, and they present different scenarios through that. It's a shoot, no shoot situation, much like police officers go through. I did it with IWI. I also did it with Sig Sauer up in New Hampshire. Same kind of training. the training with Sig Sauer, it was simulated fire. I learned a lot.
Like what?
When to pull the trigger and when not to, man. So in that part of that threat recognition is what has the potential to save my life or possibly end someone else's if the threat is continued or pushed forward. Again, like I said, part of that threat recognition is there's a silhouette. There's a same exact silhouette. One silhouette has the guy holding a cell phone. Another silhouette has a guy pointing a firearm like you, like this at you. It had to be a very quick reaction, very quick reaction time to that. And I made the correct decision because he had a cell phone. I know at the end of that, he had a cell phone. The pistol never left his holster. It never left my waistband. And I held it at my waistband in front of me.
But if somewhere along the way he found out that you had a firearm, how did that come to be?
Because he went back and forth to his vehicle.
I understand that part. How did you impart to him that you had a firearm?
I had the firearm. It was in my pocket. I had the firearm, and it was here. He saw the firearm
in my
hand.
It came out of your pocket.
It was still in the holster. It came out of my pocket. However, it was still in the holster because it was a pocket holster. So, yes, it was in front of me. So he did see the firearm in front of me.
Is there an end? Is the end of the holster where the end of the barrel is? Is that open or closed?
It's open, but you cannot get to the trigger through the holster.
Okay. So at what point were you in feeling that you were threatened of serious physical injury or death?
The opportunity for him to going back and forth to his vehicle and reaching into his car and walking back and forth in front of the pit bull, he could have released the dog, or he could have retrieved the firearm or another weapon out of the doors.
But you're telling us you're trained to know the difference between a cell phone and a firearm.
I have to be able to see it, ma'am. I cannot notice a threat if I don't see it. If he opened the door, there would have been a threat. If he would have retrieved a weapon from the door, I would have seen it. At the point where the pistol was still in my pocket, I would have been at a disadvantage had he withdrew a pistol from the door jamb of the vehicle and wore down on me. I would have been at a disadvantage then.
And you had a working cell phone with you at the time of this?
I did.
Able to call 911 from the highway when you were feeling uncomfortable with his tailgating situation?
He was pushing me down the highway, endangering other people.
And you did not call the police at that time?
I was trying to get off the highway.
Him to a larger group of people?
There was no one in the parking lot.
There was nobody at the parking lot.
It was an empty parking lot. We were at the far end of the parking lot, and it was an empty parking lot. And in a elevated situation like that, I don't think it would be prudent to use a cell phone in a vehicle. And I believe in the state of Connecticut, it's also illegal to use a cell phone, a handheld cell phone.
Unless it's an emergency.
So then you would question on whether the fact that at that point in time it was an emergency. And I get it. Continued judgment.
Because you had testified earlier that his driving was threatening to you.
It was, and it was threatening to others around, and I was trying to remove the threat from the highway. Continuing to drive down the highway to evade him and call in the police, I would have still had to drive down the highway to invade him. If I would have come off the highway and sat in the parking lot, who knows what he'd have done at that point, because he was out of the vehicle and coming towards my vehicle before I was
realize you put yourself in increasing danger by getting off the highway, by confronting him, instead of doing the prudent thing, which would be call the police from the highway, where you could have told the troopers where he is at any point in your travel.
He continued to pursue me the whole time.
Correct. Or a trooper could have come up and helped you.
Again, hindsight's 20/20.
All set.
Other questions?
I just want to understand the criminal case. Where does that stand right now?
Right now, it is still a pending criminal case. It's awaiting a jury trial.
So you've elected a jury trial?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was wondering why this happened in I'm sorry, 2021, right?
June or July of 2021, sir.
Yeah, so it's been pending for a long time.
2.5 years, sir.
And you were both arrested?
Yes, sir.
What is the status of the other person?
I do not know, sir. I believe it was AR, but I am not positive, sir.
Does the issuing authority know? With the other person?
We don't have the disposition of that.
When is your next court date?
I do not know, sir. I'm still waiting the court date.
All right. So, and then, with the pending case is an issue. I mean, you have a pending criminal case involving these facts. I agree. It probably would have been better had you, you know, had that taken care of first. But that, here we are.
I apologize, sir. I cannot do anything about the speed of GA time.
Yeah. Well, you likely. I mean, the other person took AR and is probably done. If that's true. But you're still pending to have this being held.
Because I don't believe I did anything wrong.
And is the charge breach of peace? Is that what the charge
is? It is, sir.
Anything else with the handgun or gun charge?
I'm not positive of the exact charge of the rest of that, but I knew the breach of peace was something added on.
Breach of peace, second degree, 53A-183.
So something else added on, you mean second degree?
Is that what it is, sir?
Yes.
And I apologize. No. I yield to you because I'm not a lawyer. Yeah. I apologize.
All right. It's always hard to make these decisions with a pending criminal case. It's not hard to make the decision, but it's something that's important.
Other questions?
For the issuing authority, or maybe someone else on the board would know, is the breach of peace a disqualifier?
It is not an automatic disqualifier, no.
Okay. For officer?
Murray.
Okay. All right. What was the demeanor of the victim?
He was agitated.
Okay. And I don't want to, not going to Monday morning quarterback. Did you consider, so we probably acknowledge that getting off the highway was a mistake, and we've heard a little bit about that. What else did you think to do when the victim was moving about around the vehicle, possible dog?
Like I said, I tried to de-escalate. I apologized several times. I admitted fault for not seeing him in my blind spot. I tried to take the blame for cutting them off. Again, apologized several times. I didn't see him. He was in the blind spot of my car. And he went off.
So you have some impressive training here that I'm familiar with. Did you ever consider, where were you standing?
I was standing in front of my vehicle.
Okay.
And one of the reasons I stand in front of my vehicle is in case I had to evade. Okay.
That's going to be a tough one. Incident to this degree, the discussion from the state, kind of on both sides of the ball. So, getting off the highway.
Got it. Learned my lesson.
I just understood.
Got it. Wouldn't do it again. Learned my lesson. But again, it's not a disqualifier for the handgun from that.
How far were you guys from each other when he turned to go back to
put it? Varied because there was a lot of like this going around, because I was trying to stay away from him as we were going around. And there was movement between the two vehicles, and like I said, he kept going back to the vehicle. So whenever he'd go back to the vehicle, I would try to retreat and put space between he and I. But like I said, I don't know what he was going to pull out of the vehicle, and I don't know what he was going to do with the dog.
Could you have, when he went back the last time, could you have at that point gotten into your car and left?
I don't know that answer, because he would advance and then he would back up, and then he would advance and then he would back up. If he would have retrieved the firearm out of the vehicle and I was outside of the vehicle, that would have hindered my movements, and trying to defend myself inside a vehicle, very difficult. So I apologize, but I can't Monday morning quarterback it. I don't know what he was going to do. I can't speculate. And that's not fair to speculate on me what would have happened one way or the other. Should I got back in the car and run away? I don't know, because that's not fair to speculate, because he could have chased me down. Not fair. I know he chased me down the highway. I had evidence that he chased me down the highway. and he kept advancing, and I kept backing up. So I don't, if I'd have gotten in the car and tried to leave, I don't know if he'd have chased me. I don't know.
Is there video of him chasing you on the highway? Is that what you mean by
no,
you had evidence?
No, there's video of us in the parking lot.
You said you had evidence of him chasing you on the highway, I thought. No?
I don't.
Oh, okay. I
don't believe that, ma'am. I don't believe I said
okay.
That.
Okay.
I
misheard.
I don't believe I did.
That's okay.
That's what I heard.
I have some questions.
Yeah.
Officer Murray, when you arrived on the scene, what was the distance between the two vehicles and what was the distance between the two gentlemen?
I know he was standing by, the accuser was standing by the driver's side of his door, of his vehicle, and the victim was pacing back and forth between the two vehicles. I don't recall the exact distance. I mean, the vehicles were within, you know, close enough where they were parked well enough between each other, close enough between each other where they had enough room to keep a distance, but if one of them wanted to make an advance, I'm sure they could.
Sir, do you have some recollection of the distance between your car and the other gentleman's car?
I would say roughly 10 to 15 yards, roughly 30 feet.
Okay.
Somewhere
so several car lengths.
Maybe a car length and a half, if we're going to go with car lengths.
Okay. And what is...
And
okay.
That's
I'm sorry.
Why I'm trying to stay behind the vehicle.
What was the closest the other gentleman got to you during the incident?
Probably the distance from between me and Officer Murray.
So fairly close.
Fairly close.
Thank you.
Other questions? Seeing none, any other witnesses, sir?
I do not.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
I apologize, I don't know what to say other than like I said, I was not completely prepared to come into this like this today. I was prepared to ask for a continuance as I was advised by my counsel. I have not been coached or counseled on any of the following proceedings. The only thing I was told was to request a continuance because of the GA-10 case has not come to fruition. I apologize for not being prepared for that.
Thank you, sir. Would you like to make a closing statement?
Yes, please. So we've talked a lot today about speculation, but I would like to speak of this case more of one of judgment, right? And for some reason, I don't know why, the words fatal funnel keep coming into my mind here. Fatal funnel, as we all know, is a term of art in shooting where you are physically in a confined space and you could expose yourself to fatal fire. And I don't mean that here, I mean it metaphorically, right? We have a very wide tip of the funnel at the beginning in terms of possibility, right? We're driving down the highway. What could we do to mitigate this situation? Pull over, call the police. Okay, we're gonna pull off the road now and go into the diner parking lot. The funnel's a little narrower now, right? Now I'm gonna get out of my car. Now the funnel's even narrower. Now I'm engaging him verbally. Okay, we're at a razor's edge now, and now I basically have two choices when I'm pulling out my gun. And it actually wasn't the appellant's choice that de-escalated the situation finally after all of this escalation. It was the other party who decided to call the police and put an end to it. Had that not happened, speculative yes, things could have gone very differently out here. There was nothing in the appellant's judgment that led to this situation being de-escalated. That's why the state feels it's unsuitable to possess this weapon. Thank you.
Mr. Perlman. Can I reflect that? Sorry.
Am I still allowed to ask a question?
We reserve the right to ask questions at any time for my opening statement.
Another one for Officer Murray. When you arrived, Officer, where were the two gentlemen positioned?
The appellant was standing by his driver's side door, and the victim was pacing around between the two vehicles.
So going back and forth closer to the appellant's
just vehicle? Pacing. He was, because I think he, if I remember correctly, he was still on the phone at the time with the police department, and he was just pacing.
Did he pace beyond the front of his car towards the appellant?
Whose car?
Did the gentleman who called the police and was still on the phone with the police department leave the vicinity of his vehicle and get closer to the appellant and his vehicle?
Upon my arrival?
Yes,
no.
Ma'am. Okay.
They were separated when I arrived.
Sir? To your recollection, is Officer Murray's recollection consistent with your own?
He was pacing around when he seen the police officer, he backed off. He was on the phone. There's more like that, but I guess I'm not permitted, so, because I know where my phone was. My phone wasn't on.
Did you continue to hold your holstered pistol in front of you that whole period of time?
No, ma'am. I put it back in my pocket. It was back in my pocket.
And how quickly after you exhibited it to the other gentleman did you return it to your pocket?
As soon as he was on the phone to the police and I realized that he was calling the police, I placed it back in my pocket because I realized that once he called the police, he was not going to continue to escalate the situation.
Okay. So did you consider that a de-escalating point in the incident?
I did, ma'am. And if you think about it, the showing of the pistol de-escalated the situation because he immediately called the police. Whether I de-escalated or he did, and I tried to de-escalate several times, that was the de-escalation because he called the police and I put it back in my pocket.
Thank you. Comments by the board.
I just got an observation. I noticed that throughout this case, both parties refer to the other person as the victim, which to me implies the other is the aggressor. And even the appellant was doing that, and I'm not sure why. I think it'd be more likely to say the other guy or the guy was threatening me. Or it does sound like the other guy was agitated, and it definitely takes two people to get involved in an incident like this, starting from the beginning of the wide open funnel on the highway. So two personalities aren't going to let one beat the other, and it ends up in that narrow end of the funnel where you have to make a decision, and it could be very bad. Powerful for me is the case is still pending and not likely to be resolved soon. The appellant has said he's requested a jury trial. I have no idea how long that will take. After
a long time.
We're already 2 years into this, so the pending having a pending case is troubling for me.
Other comments?
Can I just ask a question to the board? I'm sorry, Madam Chair. With the charge of breach of the peace in the second degree is not an automatic disqualifier, whether he was convicted of it or not.
Correct.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
My question, I guess, to the board is, I think, I noticed that too, Chief, about that everybody was referring to the other guy as a victim.
Except when for me, I called him the other guy.
Yeah, thank you. When I saw the other person as really escalating this big time. And I think, I hesitate to say this, but I think the appellant was right that once he displayed that he had a firearm, I pulled it out. He didn't have his finger on the trigger. That's what caused the other party to finally back down. I don't condone pulling out a firearm, certainly, but I think this is a lot different from most of the cases that we hear. If anybody has anything else to say about that, I'd be
interested. Should have never gone off the highway. It should have never gone to that. That's the problem.
I understand that, but I think I also understand what it's like to be in a vehicle when somebody's pushing you around like that.
As am
I,
and you have options. And the option to get off the highway and confront said individual is really not the most prudent option.
I think it's very dangerous myself, putting myself in that situation of traveling with somebody tailgating you that closely to, first of all, it's a frightening situation. Secondly, it increases the danger to drive with one hand and try to dial a telephone at the same time. So mm-hmm. I see this as a difficult situation, and I too am concerned that the other party was the agitated party, and I am impressed with the demeanor of the appellant today. Mm-hmm. And he's been very patient with a series of increasingly probative questions. Mm-hmm.
So for me, just, it's kind of a story about baiting. Sometimes we expect that someone's baiting someone because they are armed versus safety actions and protocols. And there's a perspective of people that train for incidents to make sure they're prepared that is on the line the way it's seen. And then just what posturing is in these incidents, whether the victims or mutual parties, is someone posturing versus really if your life is really on the line. Sometimes I've been on the highway, it's dangerous, right? So you have to make a move for you and for others, which has been articulated and beat up and down, and then you end up in a shorter funnel. Great metaphor or analogy there, but now your options are limited. What are you going to do? So like I said, I've seen your list and done some of these activities as well. And then there's public safety's concern. So it's going to be an interesting outcome in this one, because I don't remember a self-defense case like this one before.
Other comments? Seeing none. I don't know where I started last time. Chief Rosenzweig.
Issue of authority.
Ms. Johnston.
Issue of authority.
Colonel Lewis.
Appellant.
Mr. Gray.
Appellant.
Dr. Conrad.
The appellant.
Chair votes appellant. 4-2 in favor of appellant. Thank you all.
Thank you.